May I have this dance? Baby?
Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 265. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
Graham Thickens.
Hey, it's a dance, baby.
And Phil Wilson.
Hello.
How you guys doing?
Great, thanks. And you?
Great.
Oh, hanging in there. It's going to be in the 40s coming up here in the next several days, so that'll be a bonus.
So you got out your Bermuda shorts, your black socks, and your sandals?
They've been out for weeks. I just haven't worn them outside yet.
Can you explain why we're having snow melt and it's like 30 degrees?
Sun.
Yeah, the sun's so bright. Sun. Yeah.
And a lot of chemicals on the streets.
No, there's that too.
Well, and so the good news is my house faces southwest, so just gets hammered on by the sun. So the bad news is I have to paint it more frequently than you should. And the good news is my driveway gets so much sun that everything melts.
Yep.
So it's nice and dry. So that's awesome.
Good.
Yep.
Blacktop driveways have their advantages.
Yeah. So, hey, Graham, how was that Midwest Capitol call yesterday? How'd that go?
That was a pretty decent event, a couple hundred people, and there must have been 25 or 30 90-second pitches from all kinds of startups, mostly Minnesota, but some from out of state even. Wisconsin and Iowa come to mind. One guy from Des Moines. It was interesting. There were a couple of really interesting ones that I want to follow up on and learn more about, but there was no program, at least that I saw, so I don't have all the, web addresses of these startups or even their names. They just got up and did a verbal pitch, and then there were several good panels. I missed a couple early in the morning, healthcare and something else, and then the final one was a VC panel. VC and angel fund panel, and it was six states represented. So we had a guy from Omaha, we had a guy from South Dakota, and of course we got our North Dakota friends from Arthur Ventures, headquartered in Fargo, and then some Wisconsin guys out of Madison that run an accelerator there called Generator, I guess is what it's called. It was excellent. And it was at the Brave New Workshop downtown. And then we all got to head over to Kiernan's Irish Pub for a happy hour at about 3:30. Yeah. So drank too much beer again. Damn it.
Well,
it's so good.
my cousin Tim Fitzgerald used to be a fixture over at Kiernan's, and unfortunately he passed. But the Irish portion of me, which is about 20%,
I did not know that.
Yeah, my grandma was Fitzgerald, my paternal grandmother, and Kiernan's is just, I mean, it's like the place in Minneapolis if you're Irish.
Oh my gosh, did you know it moved though? I don't go downtown that much. It's across from Target Center. Right. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
really,
which I think was a good move.
Oh yeah, it's huge, and man, it was packed.
Yep.
Lots of fun. Yeah, but a good event, and lots of creativity and innovation coming out of Minnesota, if they can only get funded and grow.
I was just going to say, did any of those guys write a check yesterday?
Well, I think there was a lot of serious buttonholing going on. I mean, there are definitely going to be follow-ups from that meeting, and they claim that they want to invest in Minnesota. The guys from Nebraska and Chicago. There was a Chicago guy there too, from Hyde Park Investments or something like that. So they're at least paying lip service to the fact that they know what's going on up here. And we've been hearing rumblings about out of towners coming in to invest. Out of town in the Midwest. It appears to be happening. So.
Oh, that's good, because we'll take their money.
Oh heck yes, yeah. They if they're smart, they'll see there's a lot of cool stuff going on here. Well, the coolest thing I saw, one startup that I did take note of, is a songwriting app, an iOS app called Hum, that looks pretty cool. And you'll get a kick out of this, Steve. It's a couple of guys who moved from here out to the Bay Area, decided they didn't like it, and boomeranged back. They were working at Adobe, and they come up. They came up this app, which is $1.99 on special right now, for $1.99 for songwriters. It sounds pretty cool. I haven't played with it, but go to justhum.com.
Yeah, I'm there right now. Yeah.
Is that the one that you kind of hum the song in it, and it produces sheet music for it?
In a 90-second pitch, he didn't explain the app, you know, and I haven't really looked at it, but that maybe that's it, you know.
I heard that there's something like that, but I don't have an iOS device, so I can't, you know, I don't know. But
yeah. Well, you know, my sons are both musicians, and so I immediately sent it to them. But, you know, for $1.99, I might try it myself.
Oh, how funny.
We'll start a Minovate foursome or something. Barbershop quartet or something. I don't know.
Okay, you go ahead and you get that started, and then we'll catch up.
Right.
Yeah. You guys don't show up. I should start.
You guys go on ahead. Yeah.
I'll work on growing my mustache. And getting some wax. Oh, man. Some mustache wax.
Around in a pink mustache lift car.
Well, one of the reasons it's good to take their money from Chicago is the Minnesota Angel Investor Tax Credits are gone. So yeah. that was a bummer. And then I came across this article in MarketWatch about high tech isn't driving the economy anymore. Mm-hmm. And I started to go through it, and I thought, okay. I mean, it's true. I mean, you know, in terms of the acceleration in tech and how things have gone, and you know, as a real engine of the economy, and that it's slowing down. All these indicators are slowing down. But, you know, if the Internet of Things really is going to be a $14 trillion market within less than 10 years, that'll change things.
Yeah, I don't get. I don't get how it's slowing down. I'll have to read that article. But I'll tell you, the IPO market is sure heated up. Holy,
it has. Oh.
That it's going crazy. The IPOs are flying out there, and something like 56 were filed already so far this year. Now, that's not all tech, but I'll guarantee you there's a lot of big tech IPOs coming.
Well, okay, so here's a question for you guys. Are any of you nervous about the fact that we're in the fifth year of a bull market? And the valuations are really high, and then the IPO thing is now exploding. Does any of that make you nervous? Are you? Because I know yeah. I'm a lot more invested in cash right now than I probably should be. But does that make you nervous?
Well, it can and should. But you know, when you start talking about is it a bubble, it's nothing at all, even remotely close to what it was in '99.
Very true.
You know, it's pretty easy to make a case that, you know, it's only good, real companies going IPO now. And but, you know, it is getting overheated. And, you know, I'm sure there are plenty of investors that want to go onto the sidelines now. And, you know, but I'm not.
I finally got my dog food delivery startup funded, though.
Oh,
you did?
Yeah.
Is there a puppet involved?
Yeah, I'm gonna do a hand puppet commercial. And we're gonna do those commercials, you know, like on network TV. We're just gonna spend a lot of money doing that.
It's about time.
You could call it Doggy Drop or something. No, that as in drop on your front step.
God, I just remember, and you know, it was probably 98. And I'm reading all these articles about, you know, so-and-so leaves AOL and left $4 million in options on the table, you know, and went to do a startup. I mean, it was like everybody and their brother was going and doing a startup. Yep. So the cash was just flying around. And oh, my gosh.
How about that guy that just came public with coupons.com, though? He's a .com, original .com company that held out. And it took him, what? 12, 14 years, and he finally went IPO and made his friends and family very rich. I did not read about that.
Huh?
Yeah, coupons.com. I was just reading the piece in the journal, and I guess it went IPO, maybe not yesterday, might have been Thursday, and, you know, took a huge, had a huge one-day pop, first-day pop, and, you know, is now worth $2 billion or something. But yeah, he actually founded it back in 98, I think, and I was reading. The first expenditure they had was $1.3 million for the domain.
Jeez.
So they bought that and then plodded along apparently all these years and built a decent business. So it actually can happen.
Well, so you guys know about all the new top-level domains that are out.
Yeah.
So maybe we should start speculating because there's 100 new GTLDs, generic top-level domains that are out now already.
But they're all stupid.
They're all stupid. Well, they are.
They're terrible.
Well, and so, you know, it's always been the shorter domain, the better, and because otherwise you're going to have a lot of misspelled domains and so forth. Well, okay, so now you put in the domain name .investing or, you know, .technology or something. I mean, it's too long.
Yeah, and they're expensive, too. Have you read about what they're going to be charging for these things? I think they're dreaming, you know.
Why, in terms of how much?
To register, yeah. They're not going cheap.
We're losing you, Tim. Tim?
What? Hello?
Yeah, we lost you there. You were breaking up a little bit.
Oh, no, I wasn't saying anything. It was Graham.
Okay.
Well, but then we heard your voice sort of stuttering. At least I did.
Really? I didn't say anything.
Oh, that was weird.
Well, you know, they actually are pretty expensive. I just went to Namecheap and typed in Minovate, and you know, obviously Minovate.com's gone, but I started looking at the new TLD search results. Minovate.careers, $39.88 a year. That is very expensive.
How about Minovate.technology?
$16.88 per year.
Oh, okay. Well, those are cheaper than what I was reading. I was reading how the big brands or the ones who the big brands would be going for were going to be really pricey, but...
Well, it's like a half a million dollars if you want to have your own brand as a TLD.
Oh, yeah. But it seems to me I read about some that were $189 a year or something like that, too. This was quite a while ago when I read that. I don't know what's going on. But I don't think it's going to be a huge trend.
Yeah.
A big land rush, so shall we say.
Yeah. So, Phil, are you there, Phil?
Wait a minute. Sorry, I was muted. I moved my microphone and then forgot to unmute. My apologies.
Well, so I was wondering.
I'm here. What's up?
I was wondering, since you have sort of an audible rolling of the eyes when we talk about Target and the tech problem, what'd you think when the tech chief resigned this week?
Oh, there's a surprise.
Really? So you think Greg Steinhoff will just throw her under the bus?
Well, yeah, it could be. I mean, that's
a long time coming, actually.
Kind of the writing's on the wall, and I think they kind of put it off as long as they can, which to me would kind of indicate maybe, I don't know, maybe they are were tried to save the job. So,
What was interesting about her is she had no IT background. She came out of being an assistant buyer and then kind of moved up and left the company for a while, came back. So some of my colleagues in the IT world were, you know, calling that out like, well, you know, she didn't have the right background for the job, you know.
Huh. And she brought a lot of the, you know, kind of, she brought some of the problems on them too with some of the changes, like where they remember when they pulled back from Amazon that was hosting their website. there was all sorts of problems with their, you know, their online shop for several years, actually.
Well, so, and then when they had that designer line, and the onrush was so dramatically high that it just blew up
the site.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was within a couple of weeks from when they launched their own site after they left Amazon. So that was embarrassing, to say the least. Yeah.
Well, I think it's a fairly logical conclusion to this. Well, not, maybe it's not a conclusion, but it's obviously a logical step in this process for them to try and get credibility back. So.
Yeah. Say, I got a question. You know, this fellow that passed away.
Farhan Mohammed.
I knew him.
Did you know
Farhan? I was shocked.
I just
learned that from the show notes, Tim. I had no idea. I feel really bad about that. He was a client of mine once.
He's a great guy. It was a great guy.
Nice, gentle man, and with little kids too. I just feel horrible about that.
He's only 41.
Years old. Yeah, 41 years old.
41. Yeah, and his wife is his partner in the business.
Yes.
And they actually have two related businesses: ILM and what's the other shop called?
Well, Fusion Room is now ILM. They sold off the Fusion Room brand a couple of years back. But you know, Farhan was one of the first, if not the first, sponsors of Mobile March some 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, really?
So, and he was one of our very first presenters as well, and just a great guy, very very good human being, and. They've had a very successful run and have a very successful process or very successful business. And I saw Jamie Thinkelstad did a nice tribute to him.
I put a link in the show notes.
Yeah. And there's some, it's an opportunity to share some thoughts and things like that via Facebook as well. Farhan is going to be greatly missed in this.
Yeah. Yeah, the .NET community in particular, of course, which is Jamie is a big part of, that was primarily what ILM was as a .NET shop, right?
Well, yeah, they've also got into many more technologies as well.
Yeah.
They had built out a solid mobile business and provided a lot of opportunities. We had a chance to work with them earlier in the year, and just mm-hmm. a great group of guys. Great company. Yeah. And I will miss Farhan. It's sort of so tragic. There's no explanation as to why he passed away, but at 41, no matter what it is, it's not.
Talk about a shocker. Condolences to his wife and family.
Very much so.
Yeah, very sad.
So. I'm sure we'll say more at Mobile March regarding Farhan. He's just a wonderful guy. So, mm-hmm. All right, guys. Now, you guys are pretty excited, I know, Graham, Steve, because you got to start thinking about buying a new car.
Nah, Ferrari, baby.
One that has Apple's CarPlay in it. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Steve's cashing out of stock so he can buy that Ferrari.
That would go over well with my wife.
How many Priuses do you have to sell to get a Ferrari? That's what I want.
14.
71.
71. I could buy 71 Priuses. I'll get the entire neighborhood.
It depends on which Ferrari. You
know? So yeah, really,
did they say why there's a resistive touchscreen in that car? Because I would think that Ferrari would be pretty expensive.
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea.
That this seems like it's a weird technology choice, unless that works better if you're driving in gloves or something.
Well, and then they had a, because they're also going to do the deal with Mercedes and one other company, and they had a
Volvo.
Volvo was the other one, yeah. So they had a picture on this one automotive blog that I follow, and some guy had put a comment underneath and said, it looks like they took an Android tablet and Velcroed the thing on the dash.
And stuffed it in, yeah.
It just looked like hell. And I thought, come on, seriously? You can't even embed the thing? I mean, obviously it's a prototype, but still, it just...
They got to do better than that.
Yeah. Or at least Photoshop the thing in there so it appears to be embedded in the dash.
Well, I don't know. I still, I don't know if it's really all that important to me, wouldn't you have the Bluetooth connectivity and the ability to connect your iPhone or mobile device now to many car systems? I don't know if it's worth the extra expense to have the screen on the dashboard as well.
Well, it's taking over the screen. It's actually projecting onto the screen. So the screen can have whatever the manufacturer,
right. You
know, has ideas for it. But there's apparently some sort of a server app or something that Apple gives them to embed in their systems. And it's just basically the iPhone, takes over and presents that car interface.
Well, and you know, on these new Priuses that my wife and I have, Toyota has this Entune app suite, and so you can touch Pandora and movietickets.com, OpenTable, stuff like that. And unfortunately, it just does not work very well with any phone, really, but the iPhone specifically. And it's just, you know, there's latency with Bluetooth streaming and so on, and it's just not a very good experience. In fact, the thing that drives me absolutely insane is even if I turn the radio off before I turn the car off, if a streaming app is running on my phone, it will look at the phone, it'll handshake through Bluetooth, and then it'll start playing music. And sometimes I have the volume turned way up, scares the hell out of me when the thing turns on. You know, it's just like, whoa. But, So I for one would love to have an app interface. Let the phone do its thing. Put all your stuff on the phone, and then just access the things you want to access through the touch interface. Be a lot better than fumbling with a phone.
This is the way that their iWatch is going to work too. The iPhone will project that interface onto the watch.
Think so?
Oh yeah. Yep. That's how they're going to get crazy battery life. It's basically the phone will be, or the watch will be a screen with very limited electronics that will just basically, you know, accept information coming from the iPhone.
Yeah.
Well, which is a different way to look at that, really, you know, because all the other ones have some sort of embedded chip that do stuff, that run software on it. If you're able to just use it as a display only, that opens up some interesting options, I think. Plus, you'll get ridiculous battery life because it won't. I mean, it'll only consume battery when the display is on.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you right now, I can respond to text messages in the car by speaking. You know, just hitting the microphone and then just speaking and hitting send. Well, it'd be great if that process was a little bit automated. So incoming message from Tim Elliott, and then reads the message, and then would you like to respond? Yes. And then you go ahead and respond. So
there you go.
Yeah, but it's so much more fun to do it with your fingers on your phone, you know, only at stoplights.
Yeah, but when you're eating a cheeseburger in the car driving with your knees, it's a little hard to.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No. Nah, I still love the video where the two guys from Google are driving along in their car, and one guy's filming. I got another guy in the right lane. He's got a book open. He's eating a sandwich, and he's looking at his phone while he's driving. And these guys are following him for probably 3 or 4 minutes. You know, they're laughing and stuff, looking at this guy. And I thought, yeah, I mean, I see that kind of stuff all the time. Oh my God.
I remember, when we had spent a lot of time, with doing things with different radio stations. We had traffic guys, and they would always be calling in and telling us the weird stuff. These like, you know, people eating bowls of cereal in their car and
jeez,
putting on their eye makeup. Yeah, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny.
Oh my God.
That started in California, you know, and which is where the dummies and the passenger seats, so you could go in the commuter lane. It all starts out there, it seems like.
So who's been following this story about Nakamoto, the supposed Bitcoin creator?
I'm sorry. I always check out on the Bitcoin story stuff. It's like, what?
This is the weirdest story.
It is just the weirdest. People have lost millions. of what?
Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't understand.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a media frenzy. But
this guy,
what?
We lost him again.
No,
yeah. I'm here.
Okay.
This guy just, what? Go ahead, say it.
Spit it out.
Well, why does it?
Yeah, see, we keep losing. Tim, you just keep losing you, buddy.
He want to be, if he invented it, why doesn't he want to take credit for it?
I don't know, because he'll be blamed for everything,
well,
I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, because he'll be exposed and everybody's trying to go after his 600 and some million in bitcoins. That's what some in the community are saying. They're outraged that the guy's being outed. But, you know, it still hasn't been proven, you know, even though Newsweek stands behind its story, that he is the guy. There's a lot more to come on this story, I think.
Yeah, but I still don't know what everybody's... How do you lose money as a virtual currency? I don't get it.
Well, no.
Sorry. I will never understand Bitcoin. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because they didn't put real cash into... But, well, he didn't, supposedly. Some people did. Some people, you know, converted real cash to Bitcoin.
Well, they're dumbasses, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, they are if they did it at $1,000 because it really dropped fast. But no, the money that this guy would lose would be just Bitcoins that he earned by solving the math problems, you know. But it is 600 and some million, they estimate. And, you know, that's why many in the community think it's really, really bad of Newsweek to do this, but you have to understand Newsweek's trying to make a comeback under a new owner that bought it for a song, and this is their first print edition in a long time. So, you know, it's all about investigative journalism, and they want to create a media frenzy, and they did, and it's selling issues, and, you know, and now the word is, okay, what are they going to do next? You know, what's their next big story to sell the next issue, you know? But yeah, they're standing by their story and saying this is the guy.
Okay, whatever.
Well, yeah. I will still come back to our discussion last week, which is, you know, okay, so if you want to mine your own Bitcoins, you have to first get a Bitcoin wallet, which is an encrypted bank account, basically, to hold what you're mining. And then you go off and you let your computer go off and do the mining, and it puts it in there. But these Bitcoin wallets have been attacked like crazy. And it's like, hey, wait a minute. I barely trust our existing banking system, let alone,
right.
Let alone, you know, Joe Schmedlap, who's out there creating some virtual currency.
Bob's banking. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take millions of dollars and invest in that. Okay. So,
oh, man,
I'm sorry, just a little bit of a jaded technologist here.
Yeah.
Say, did you know there's a sort of a Minnesota connection in the Bitcoin world? You remember Jeremy Allaire, our old buddy who used to be Minnesota based and was born and raised in Minnesota. Did you know he is cut down his involvement on Bright Cove and founded a Bitcoin company called Circle.
Really?
And he was quoted in a Wall Street Journal story yesterday that mysterious in the case of money is not so good, said Jeremy Allaire, a technology entrepreneur who was developing a Bitcoin company. And they went on to say, I feel really badly for the guy, because if in fact he is Satoshi Nakamoto, his chosen lifestyle is going to radically change. And you don't wish that on someone who doesn't want it. Circle is something he launched in Boston, where he's lived now for several years. I believe he launched it in November.
Got it.
So he caught the Mark Andreessen fever, I guess.
Yeah. So if you invest in Bitcoins at Circle, do you become a Circle jerk? Is that what happens?
It's funny. I thought of the term Circle jerk. That's what's going on. It's a geek Circle jerk on this whole discovery of the of the founder, you know.
Yeah, but if somebody nails the security and encryption and builds a trusted source, I mean they're gonna clean up.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah, well, you know, Andreessen and other VCs think so.
I won't pretend to have any idea how to take advantage of Bitcoin.
Well, this was a big story this week is Getty Images allowing non-commercial use of their images. You can embed any of them, or well, not any of them, but a lot of them. And
I checked that out this morning to see if I could find some, you know, watermark free Getty images. And so far I haven't been able to find them. So
no,
you,
I have not done it yet. But partly because I end up buying images to use.
Yeah.
And I don't particularly like how gigantic the attribution is underneath the image. Yeah,
it is pretty huge.
Right. I mean, a huge Getty Images logo and then the name of the photographer and then their Twitter account and all that stuff. I mean, it's like, really?
Yeah. Well, you get what you pay for.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
And plus, it's all about sharing. That's in getting credit where credit is due.
Sure. Well, I really appreciate what they've done. It is a good idea, but again, it's just sort of obnoxiously huge.
Yes, it is. So, big. It is big.
Yeah.
But they aren't doing that with their entire library. What are they leaving out? Steve, did you read what can't you get for free? It's a couple of major.
Yeah, well, one of the big ones was some of their historical.
Oh yeah.
Photos.
Sure.
And you know, I mean, if you want one of Dr. Martin Luther King at, you know, giving his speech on the Washington Mall, you can't get that. If you want to see, you know, Kennedy doing his photo of him with his "We're going to the moon" speech, you can't get that. I mean, there, you know, so there are ones that they clearly make a lot of money on, and they're not allowing those to go out for free. And again, this is also just for non-commercial. Mm-hmm. So if you're a blogger or you're a, you know, somebody like us, Minovate, you're dancing.
Does that mean without a business model?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm kidding. I kid.
You do kid.
I jest. But you're not lying.
I kid, but I ain't lying.
You ain't lying, son.
Well, of course, we're all in this for the money, so. You know.
Yes, it's so true.
Yeah.
We're pure. We're pure as the driven snow that's melting outside right now.
Untainted by cash.
Yeah, that's yeah.
That's right.
Damn it.
Damn it anyway.
Just would love to be tainted just once by excess cash.
I was hanging around all these millionaires yesterday at the conference, and I was joking when I bought a beer because I had to buy after the first free one. We had to buy, and I had a bunch of VCs standing around me, and I said, "Hey, get one for these guys too. They can't afford it," but they didn't. Thankfully, they didn't take me up on that. They bought their own beers. Thank you, guys.
Wow.
Because I couldn't afford to buy them. That's for darn sure.
Yeah.
Because I'm pure. I'm a blogger.
I'm a blogger.
I'm pure.
Says the guy who shows up for the free drinks and lunch.
Yeah. Yeah. Always.
Well, always.
Yeah.
So I noticed, I'm guessing that either Graham or Steve wanted to talk about former Apple CEO John Sculley. Am I right?
Well, no, I put it in there.
You put it in there?
Oh. Yeah, I thought it was a weird story.
It is kind of a weird story, isn't it?
Because he did a few things after he left Apple that were technology related. I worked with him a little bit when I was at Kodak with Live Picture, which was a Photoshop competitor at the time. But he really has stayed out of technology until now. And then selling smartphones in India seems like just a weird place for him to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I doubt if he offices there, but yeah.
No, he's in New York.
Yeah.
But yeah. It just seemed like a weird thing to lend his name to, that's all.
Well, and then there's this second story here about Roku and their streaming stick.
Yeah, that's a much better story there.
It's but a good, still, good it was kind of a, well, yeah, but it's still kind of weird.
Well, they had one of these before, but it used like that proprietary weird. What did they call it? It's like a version of HDMI, but it has power on it, mm-hmm. and it never took off. So I think all they did is they took that stick and then they, you know, put a regular HDMI in it with a power cable after the Chromecast became such a big thing.
Yeah, but the Chromecast doesn't need a power cable, right?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, it does. Yeah, I don't have one. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So the other one, remember we talked about it a couple of years ago, or maybe a year ago, the Roku one, because they did a deal with Insignia, who was one of the few manufacturers who supported that weird HDMI standard. I mean, the idea was good, where you plug it in and it all you do is you plug the box in and it draws power from the HDMI. But I guess it never took off.
Well, so one of the things that I keep reading about, and I have no idea what chipsets are in the Chromecast or this Roku stick, but that was one of the things about the third generation Apple TV was the A6 chip and how it could accelerate the decompression of streams and make them look better on an HD TV. I mean, could there possibly be enough power in these sticks? Or doesn't it matter? Is it just pushing bits to the screen?
Well, the Roku is such a low-powered device anyway that I don't think it matters. I mean, it's a fairly, I mean, in comparison with the Apple TV, which I believe has more capability as far as the CPU and whatnot, you know, it's not really the same kind of tech. So it would be great to see Apple do something like this, where it's a little thing that disappears behind your TV, but I doubt they'll ever do it.
Yeah.
It's just not the Apple way to have such a, it just doesn't seem very elegant to have this, you know, this need to plug into either the wall or to your USB that's sitting on your TV.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But I think they're going to sell a ton of these because the Roku is great interface.
Yeah.
It's definitely cheap enough to get it down near that Chromecast.
Yeah, well, it's Chromecast cost, but it has a lot more capability than Chromecast does right now.
Right.
But
so today is the day that South by Southwest opens, correct?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think it started yesterday, or people started getting there yesterday.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So you're going again, Phil?
No. That thing is so freaking huge.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. I got a story about that. I actually thought briefly about going because Walt and Kara invited me to their Recode launch party.
Oh,
personally,
sweet.
I got a personal, no, it was not. It was blasted out to probably 5,000 people, but I was at their All Things D launch party, as I've told you guys before, back in 06 or 07. So I was on the list. And I thought, I'd go down there just for that party. And then I looked at airline flights. You know, I figured, hey, I'll fly down. I'd skip the podcast this morning, jump on a plane, go down there, sleep overnight in a hotel lobby chair, and come back on Sunday.
Okay, it was almost, well, that's good.
Almost $1,000 to do that flight.
Oh,
and
geez.
I thought, no, I don't want to go to a party with 5,000 people. Well, maybe it's not that many. It would probably be a party of more like 800, you know, but being on the list, it would have been fun to go. But, you know, I think a lot of the folks from the local agency community are down there. Marty Weatherall from Fallon, I know, went down yesterday.
Greg Swan and crew are down
there. Yeah. Lisa Graham, Lulu's down there.
How do you decide what to see? Because there's like 50 things on at the same time.
On any given time. That's the thing. It's just, it's so big now. It's like, oh my God, how could you possibly take anything in?
You have to really, really like crowds, you know.
And
Matt Mullenweg was quoted as saying, you know, do people really have fun at a party for 5,000 people?
That's hard.
So he's not doing a party for Automatic this year. And Twitter's not really sending many people. You know, Foursquare isn't. You know, a lot of the big companies, just, you know, tech companies, have gotten over it, you know what I mean? And the big brands, it's about the big brands, the Pepsis and the Subways and, you know, That's what it's really more about these days.
Yeah, it really has been. It was sort of a cutting-edge technology and social media sort of place for a while. Now it's really kind of become a big marketing conference.
Yeah, and so expensive to get accommodations.
But I'm looking at this.
It's getting very show busy. I mean, you know, Seth Meyers is kicking it off with a big thing. And, you know, I know that Jimmy Kimmel is going to be there live. And it's just interesting. So,
well, I'm looking at the 11 a.m. sessions today.
And there are how many of them?
There are, well, there's probably 50. But I'm looking at some of these, and they're pretty amazing. Aging in place with the Internet of Things. The explosion in people retiring, and we're all going to have to age in place because there's not enough homes for everyone. To Citizen Dix, Solving Murders with Social Media. It's like,
oh, there's a what? Catchy title.
but there are really a lot of interesting things, you know, future of education, innovation in kids' privacy. But you know, at the end of the day, a lot of this stuff, you have to say, geez, you could really read a good article or watch a video and get the same amount of information out of it,
well,
I think.
Well, and Phil can speak to this. How do you get across town? I mean, aren't the venues spread out all over, kind of like in Vegas for CES?
When I went there, it wasn't that bad. But I can only imagine now that it's obviously flowing out beyond the Civic Center. So... but the Civic Center is not that far away from the downtown activities where all the parties usually happen. So that's not too bad. Everything's pretty much walking distance once you get down there. But yeah, you put on some miles, and I can't imagine just how spread out it is now when you have things like, you know, 50 things in a time slot.
Yeah,
I think maybe there were 10 or 12 when I was there. You know?
Oh man, how many years ago were you there now?
Too many. Too many. I don't know if Texas was a state at the time. I think it was about 4 years ago. Or 5 years ago.
Those were when it was really, really a big deal. Now,
yeah, I think it was the year after Twitter rolled out.
Yeah. That was 2007 then, I think, because Twitter was 2006.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Wow. Time flies.
Don't it just?
Well, oh, man. And if you'd only had your Pebble watch at the time,
I know
you would have been
dancing.
That's
right.
So now there's a Pebble app store coming to Android.
Yes, there is.
What the heck is that all about?
Well, yeah, they rolled it out at for iOS a few months back, I guess. Maybe a month back.
It's you. We're used to that, though.
Yeah. That's so true. We have to wait and wait. Citizens.
Yeah,
that's right.
But it's basically just an easy place to get different apps the apps that are rolling out. Cause usually it was everything you went back to the Pebble site and you tried to stay on top of what was coming out. And it was a little bit difficult to come up with specific Pebble apps, but now you can. And yeah, it's just a little easier to download, you know, new watch faces, new applications for your watch, things like that.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I just put that in the show notes cause I thought, well, yay. I know it's nothing like the Scully thing, but you know.
So any good apps that you put in, you know, that you found so far, Phil?
No, I haven't had a chance to spend any time with it as of yet. I think this just popped, 2 days ago, yesterday? I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
So I just haven't had a chance to spend some time doing that.
So you're not playing Snake on your...
No. No, I'm not.
I'm sure they've got it. I see they have a game section, so the Snake's got to be on there.
It's going to be interesting to see what that's like. That's for sure. You've got, what, 3 buttons to use? So
it'd probably a Flappy Bird, too.
There you go.
They've got a Flappy Bird.
Why not?
Yeah, I can't imagine Phil sitting somewhere playing games on his phone.
Well, no, I don't. It's
games on his watch.
Yeah.
I don't, or that's I don't, what I meant. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't. So,
wow.
I'm not a gamer. You know, I don't know. I don't even play. What is it? Bejeweled or something like that? Or
yeah, I'm not
Candy
either.
Crush or any of that stuff.
We're busy guys.
Yeah,
we're busy guys.
Bloggers, baby.
I'm busy going through my Feedly or Flipboard or something.
There you go.
Right. Yeah, Flipboard. Yeah, my magazine.
Here you go.
Yeah, go to my magazine. Yeah.
I love that. Hey, by the way, I wanted to toss this in because I saw it yesterday about NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden. He submitted written testimony to a European Union committee investigating mass surveillance. And I read the it's a PDF, and I'll put a link in the show notes. But regardless of what your position is, just read it.
Sure.
It's actually really good. I think he did a great job putting this together.
How much money do you suppose he's making from The Guardian?
I don't think he makes anything. He's got a job in Russia. He's doing something in computers.
I don't know. I sure wouldn't give that stuff away.
I think he doesn't make any money off of it. I think that Greenwald does.
Huh.
The journalist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well,
he owes
then
him.
Gives it to him. He,
I was going to say Snowden owes him some dough, or he knows Snowden some dough. So it's,
yeah.
Well, I came across something, and we should have our, just a quick adventure because it's time for.
Yes.
Steve's security tip of the week.
Okay. So do you guys know what Hacker News is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I love Hacker News. And there's a new site that I came across called cryptanalysis.is. So it's cryptanalysis. And it's really the Hacker News of cryptography, security, and hacking. And I'll put a link in the show notes to it if you are interested in staying on top of sort of the latest and greatest stories. There's a lot of Bitcoin stuff on here, which is, you know, whatever.
Understandable.
But it's really interesting. So I started poking around and looking at some of these, and I thought, oh, my God, I'm putting that right in Feedly so I can stay on top of some of the things that they're putting out. So I thought that was really good. I had to throw that in today.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Here's a good one. You can now purchase Angela Merkel's crypto enhanced BlackBerry.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's pre-installed with surveillance technology. Oh, man.
This is quite the list of stuff they got on here. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And two articles just showed up too. So they stay on top of it. Yep. Yep.
Yep. Wow.
So
good tip.
Okay.
Nice tip. Nice tip.
Wow.
Wait. Stop it.
Virtual fist bump.
You guys. All right. All right. Wow. So what happy, wonderful technology events are coming up that we need to just briefly cover?
There's only one in my mind.
Of course, because you gotta pimp your own show, but
that's exactly
right. So we have mini analytics on the 19th, so that's coming up quick.
I'm glad you consider it pimping.
Did he have to be that brash about it?
No, I'm just trying to be nice and be factual.
Guess who just pissed away his comp ticket?
Just remember, I still have administrator access to the site.
Wait a minute. Not anymore, you don't.
Yeah, I can log in and just put starring Steve Borsch, who has a comp ticket. Anyway, but Mobile March is coming up on the 20th. Boy, that's really close.
Just placed the order for the commemorative T-shirt. We've never done a T-shirt, and this is the first time. So
that's sweet.
I think you'll like it. And I know, Steve, it'll go very well with the shorts, the Bermuda shorts and the black socks.
So. Oh, excellent, excellent.
But yes, tickets are available. Ticket prices do go up the final week before the event. So get your tickets.
Oh, really? Now. Okay.
Saves money. So.
And got Phil, it. As I told the guys last week, I'm really bummed I can't be there because I'm going to this big event in New York for big data. So sorry, I'm going to miss it. Save me a T-shirt for sure.
Hey, be that way.
Beer and cheese for everybody else.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, we'll count on Steve to cover everything for everybody, to Steve and Tim. So.
There you go.
All right. And then SMB, MSP is coming up on the 28th.
Yep.
Social media case studies, which is always a good thing. It's a little less nebulous topic when you can get actual, here's what did it and here's what didn't do it. So.
Right. Yep. Right.
And mini bar is set for the 12th. Do we have tickets yet?
Nope, not yet.
Doesn't look like it.
Nope, Not yet. And then,
Do we know even where it's going to be held?
Not yet.
I would assume. I mean, there's.
Yeah, there's no details about anything.
Right. But it's actually the same weekend as the overnight website challenge.
That's true. Right.
Tim, have you fielded your team yet?
No, we're not going to do it.
You're not going to do it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not enough people could return, and you know, this not enough interest overall. And if you go and look at their site, I think they're having trouble like fielding teams here. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's 9 teams that are currently there, you know, and none of them are, well, there's one. Okay. So there's one full and there's 8 others that still need members.
Wow.
You know, holding it the same weekend as Minibar wasn't exactly great planning, was
it?
Well,
I doubt Minibar was planned after an overnight web challenge, wouldn't
that, it? That would be true. Yeah, yeah, it was Minibar that goofed that up. I'll bet you they're not happy about that.
Yeah.
At overnight, at
a great, it's a great concept of an event. I hope they do fill it up. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'd actually like to try to do it again, but we're you know, if they bring it back to sometime in March like it normally is, we'll probably be there next year.
Well, what about can we get some sort of campaign to, you know, find Tim Elliott a home on another team or something?
Well, I could, if I wanted to, I could join another team, and I haven't done that yet.
Okay. All right.
I just don't want to be stuck on a team with .NET developers. That's all.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know?
I understand. And then we've got Mini WebCon coming up on the 14th and 15th.
That's right.
Over on the St. Wow. Paul campus of the U.
Yep.
Yeah.
That would be a good event. One, too.
Mm-hmm. Who do we have speaking there this year? Kurth Baker. Don't know who she is.
She does Boing Boing. She's the she's here in the Twin Cities, and she's the science editor, person that does a lot of technical related and science related postings. I really like her stuff.
And Lisa Welshman, who is
I don't know Lisa.
A global leader in digital strategy and governance, has a book coming out called Managing Chaos: Digital Governance by Design.
Interesting.
So that's, we've got, I'm guessing those are the keynotes, right? And then we'll have sessions break from there.
Well,
there you have it.
Nothing
going
on.
Anything else for the good of the order, boys? Anything else?
I can't think of anything.
No.
Just scroll down to the bottom of the show notes.
Why?
Because he put a poster in of the Bitcoin guy.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant. It's brilliant.
It is.
Nope.
It's an alleged founder.
The alleged founder. Okay. Nope. Not me. Nope.
I like nope. No, nope. And instead of hope, that's good.
Yes. Yeah. Nope. Yeah. So Steve will have to integrate that into his usual stellar design for the upcoming post of this podcast, right?
Yeah.
So he's got
something. If Tim gives me the link so I can do attribution
and a logo and a Twitter again.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, everyone.
Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens and shakes out next week in the world of innovation and tech here in the Twin Cities next week on
the Minovate Gang Podcast.
Yes, sir.
Take care, gents.
See ya.
See ya.
So we can do alone.